Hello and welcome into another edition of the Rebel Room. I am Taylor Byrne alongside Case Kiefer and Ray Brewer here to break down another week of the UNLV football season and a little bit of a transition period here as they prepare to wrap up the fourth game of non-conference play before hosting Fresno State in conference, coming off of a very disappointing 44-21 loss at Central Michigan. Not a surprise that they lost, and not even a surprise, at least, I think to me, to Case, I know, Ray, you predicted a UNLV outright upset, but not necessarily a surprise that they didn't cover the 13 points, but just did not look good in any facet of the game, offense, defense, special teams. So a lot of concern coming out of that game, concern that I think may, be all for naught just based on the competition that they have coming up, both with Idaho and then the ugly Mountain West. But concerns nonetheless. Ray, coming out of the game, they leave receivers wide open all over the field. Johnny Stanton, another very ugly performance. He has now had back-to-back games where it's basically like 29 of 69 with four interceptions. Running game, other than one 85-yard touchdown out of Lexington Thomas, just couldn't get anything going. Just what do you take away from the Central Michigan game as far as the problem areas?
Well, I mean, I think that what we saw a little bit in August in camp, where Stanton just couldn't pull away from Palandek, and he won the job essentially because Palandek got hurt. You wondered, well, this guy was supposed to come in, be the quarterback to take UNLV to that next notch on the belt. And then you were like, okay, well, if he can't pull away, we may have some problems. And you've kind of seen in the UCLA game and Central Michigan, who probably is the best team in the MAC, him struggle. And in addition to just missing receivers, there's been some drops.
A lot of drops,
especially from Devontae Boyd. I mean, he's your best player. When you need a first down or you need a big play, you got to come up with the ball if it's in your area. And to me, that's the concern, because will Stanton be okay when the competition kind of levels out a little bit and it's just UNLV against an equally matched team minus San Diego State and Boise State? Or is he going to even have problems against those teams? And I think that's kind of the, if they're guilty of anything, they maybe took a guy or recruited a guy or got a guy who they thought could be the answer, and he's clearly not. And then defensively, I mean, they've played two good quarterbacks the last 2 weeks. Cooper Rush, I think somebody said, was rated as maybe the fourth best quarterback in the nation for the draft coming
up.
Yeah,
for the draft. Some, what do you call them, draft prognosticators. I hate the term expert, just slapped on anybody. But basically people trying to project who's going to jump to the next level. Rush is one of those guys around there. He's a fifth-year quarterback. He set the stadium record with six touchdowns on Saturday. He is Central Michigan's all-time leading passer, the active NCAA leader in passing. So it's not a surprise that given time, which he had back in the pocket, that he was able to pick apart these defense. I think the surprise or the main problem is just the absolute blown coverages all over the field. And yes, Kenny Keyes, starting safety, was out the first half because of the targeting penalty against UCLA, but one player's absence absolutely should not leave holes like that on the field.
Especially, I think, maybe it wasn't on the podcast and offline when Brewer and I continued arguing last week. One of the things that he was telling me why I'm crazy thinking Central Michigan was going to cover is he was like, look, the secondary, the defensive backs are the strength of this defense. And, I mean, it certainly didn't look like it on Saturday. It was another part of the problem. And, I don't want to every game, I think, this year we've come in here and be like, oh, we didn't learn that much this game. It doesn't mean much. I think you could say that again here, because Central Michigan is clearly in a much better spot than UNLV right now. We knew that coming into the year. But I will say, I mean, one of the things that we always defend Tony Sanchez with, because, of course, there are still some detractors that say, like, this guy's only won four games and everyone's giving him a pass, whatever. And one of the things I think that Brewer and I, and even you probably said last year, was like, yeah, they had a terrible record, but look what he had, and they really didn't have any just complete stinkers. And I think this game would qualify. I mean, like you said, there's just nothing they did well. So I think there probably is a little bit cause for concern. Now, I mean, it's one game in a season of 12. The ones that matter are still coming up, but I don't think there's much you can say that's like a redeeming quality coming out of this game. Well, like maybe the special teams played well with the blocked punt.
But that was it. That was the first touchdown of the game. They go up 7-0 on a blocked punt scored by, let's see if I can remember his name, Aaron Borg, who is a walk-on who joined the team this summer, who was not on the game day roster, and his online bio has no number. So he was number 49, made the play, or he was the one who blocked it. And so we were up in the press box, like, what the hell? So you got the nice play there, and Evan Pantel's first punt was phenomenal, pinning them down inside the 5-yard line. Every punt after that was very ugly and did not shift field position whatsoever. And they had a couple of, you know, other problems in the return game. Just a lot of boneheaded plays. And that's why I say in all facets, I mean offense, defense, and special teams, they were all, you know, you'd grade them D or lower.
And that's the thing. I think UNLV football right now is at the stage of its development where a lot has to go right. And if more than one thing goes wrong, they're probably not equipped to recover from that. So you look at Saturday and what went wrong. Well, one, the other team had a really good player at quarterback, and he just absolutely dissected the secondary. Two, arguably your best safety in Keys wasn't there, and Dalton Baker was playing. Okay, and then now offensively, you're having problems, you know, catching the ball, throwing the ball accurately, and the run game, which is supposed to be your bread and butter, is kind of stuck in neutral. And now the punter who you signed, who you thought was, you gave a scholarship to, he really hasn't had a good punt, you know, hang time wise all year.
His first one on Saturday was phenomenal.
Okay.
Other than that, it hasn't been particularly good.
And so now all these things have piled up, and surprisingly, I think midway through the second quarter or toward the end of the second quarter, just because Central Michigan missed the field goal, had the blocked punt, UNLV was still...
They were around, yep.
Yeah, they were around. Yep. And then the wheels just fell off in the second half where, you know, when you can't throw the ball and the opposing team is able to commit more to play defense, which is clearly what we saw, and defend the run, I'm sorry, you're not going to do much. And then when you're behind and you have to throw the ball to catch up and you can't throw the ball, well, you're going to make bad decisions.
Yeah, outside of Lexington Thomas's 85-yard touchdown run, the rushing game averaged 2.6 yards per carry on Saturday. That's not going to get it done against anybody. That said, all of these problems laid out, they were supposed to lose that game. They were supposed to be 1-2 at this point, and they are. The schedule eases up significantly outside of, as we mentioned, Boise State and San Diego State. Case, you might as well buy me that lunch now.
I needed them to lose one of those two games to have a chance.
Yeah, San Diego State. Can we take a moment to talk about Donnell Pumphrey? That kid is just amazing. And I know you guys covered him when he was here locally. He's leading the country by, I think it's about 150 yards in total rushing, averaging nearly 200 a game, had 220 and two or three touchdowns. On Saturday, he came in with a lot of hype. San Diego State put a Heisman campaign behind him, which I thought was going to – I was afraid it was going to kind of blow up on him, in part just figuring there's no way he can continue to be as good as he's been, and he's been awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's one of the reasons why – and it's still only three games. I mean, I think San Diego State for sure is going at least 9-3, so I'm going to lose the bet with you. But this could fall apart. But one of the things I was wrong about is I just did not think he could keep up the same level. And even last year – I think, like, by an efficiency standpoint, last year was, like, his weakest year. I mean, yep. He had a bunch of explosive runs, but he really wasn't great at – and I think his average was down. And I just thought that, you know, yeah, he's going to break loose some runs, but I don't think you can build a whole offense around him. And I can't believe I discounted a guy who's been my favorite player since he was a sophomore in high school. But this year he's just running so much better. He looks just ridiculous, and I'm so happy. I'm very happy to be wrong because he's been one of the main reasons, and I root for everything that kid –
And he's
achieves.
A good guy. He was really fun to cover when we had him in high school. And even when I saw him at Media Day, I had a blast catching up with that kid. I really did. And it's been neat. He did Sports Center this week. And they might have used that on College Football Live. And, you know, they're talking maybe him getting an invitation in New York City for the Heisman
presentation.
Which, I mean, we know the kid from Louisville –
Yeah, that's the other thing. The most impressive, so Donnell Pumphrey is leading the nation in rushing, like I said, by about 150 yards. Second in the country, Lamar Jackson.
A quarterback.
Like, just insane.
Yeah. So, but real neat for the kid. And, you know, there were some talks at the end of last year, maybe he should try to go in the NFL. And whoever advised him to stay and the fact that he listened, I think he's really positioned himself well to be a solid third-round pick. Some people may say higher. I just think with his size...
yeah, he's a small guy.
He's a third down Darryl Sproles type of guy.
You know, catching the ball, Darren Sproles. I don't know what his pro potential is, but he's been phenomenal as a college player, and I love watching him. Back to UNLV, the reason we had that tangent, just talking about the Mountain West, Boise State and San Diego State, obviously the best, and then everything after that is winnable. It just is. This league is not any good, and so that's where all of the, you know, you can talk about how bad the three facets of the game for UNLV were on Saturday. To Case's point, that may not mean much going forward. Idaho is this weekend at home, 6 p.m. at Sam Boyd. Idaho this season barely beat Montana State, a 1AA team who's usually pretty good, but they won 20-17 at home, and then a couple of road losses to Washington and Washington State, 59-14 and 56-6. UNLV is a 14-point favorite going into the weekend. You got to... But it, you know, I'm saying all that, and the competition will level out. I think that's going to help them immensely on defense. You have to be able to do something at quarterback. When do we start talking about whether there's some type of change, or just maybe Palandek is finally healthy enough this week that they start to work him in for a series or two, kind of like they had been doing last year when Decker was healthy?
I mean, it's this week. That's where my eyes are on, because you mentioned Idaho's credentials or lack thereof, and one thing, they can't stop the pass at all. Their secondary is an absolute mess. They make UNLV look like Alabama or something. I don't know whoever has the best secondary. So if Stanton continues to struggle this week against this team, I think that there's some real cause for concern, and maybe we start looking at that thing. Maybe we put Palandek in the middle of the game. I think this is going to be real telling as far as the passing game this game.
Yeah, and there's the therein lies the problem, because you've got four quarterbacks who could play, right?
Kind of your four scholarship guys.
Stanton, Palandek,
Snead,
and Rogers. Okay, well, Rogers...
Planning on redshirting.
Redshirting, and probably just not caught up to speed offensively. Needs the year, not the answer. Stanton and Palandek, at least from what we've seen in games, probably aren't great passers.
I mean, they're not good passers.
Okay.
You can say that.
And Snead is an unknown, because we haven't seen him in a game. He hasn't really had to throw any important pass. He's thrown one curve pass, I believe, right?
I mean, he must not be.
That, yeah.
I think he was 1-for-1 against
the
Jackson State game.
And
he came in for one play when Stanton lost his helmet.
Yep.
They were, like, calling for him. Like,
handed it off.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was just down with a headset on.
Yeah.
So he had to go get his helmet and then run on.
Yeah, but, I mean... I think the question the coaches are going to have to ask themselves, or that they probably ask themselves, is who could manage the game and win the game for us when league play starts? You got to win on Saturday, must win to get you to 2-2. And who could manage the game the best? Is it Palandek? Is he less dangerous than Stanton? Who knows? Because we don't know what his shoulder is or where it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can't pass against Idaho, who gave up, 89 points last week or something?
It was in the 50s both of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, then you're you know, and that's the thing. I know I'm going to go to the game. I know I'm going to write a column, and I know I'm going to mention Stanton. And the times I've seen him play are Jackson State and Idaho, who should play each other, because you're not going to learn much about them. And I don't know if Stanton was terrible against UCLA. Was he terrible?
This was a discussion. This was the argument we had last week.
He was 11 of 28 with two interceptions. However you want to dice it, that's not good.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, he wasn't bad.
And to further repeat last week, a couple dropped interceptions.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, listen, UNLV's in a rock and a hard spot. They got to get a grad transfer for next year.
I'm not sold that that's the answer, but... That's also longer term. I want to keep focusing on this year, because the way the schedule plays out, they should be, or very easily could be, 3-2 going to San Diego State.
They should be. I mean, yeah, if they don't win the next 2 weeks, then it's time to look in that mirror.
It's home games against Idaho and Fresno State. So this is the time to figure it out because, like we said, they were supposed to be 1-2 at this point. So all of your season goals are very much still at play.
I'd always said when we talked in the preseason, in the spring, in the summer, that Central game was winnable. And, I mean, I knew that they had a good quarterback. I didn't realize he was going to be that good. And I think when I had said that, I didn't realize that Stanton wouldn't be that serviceable. I mean, he's not even been and maybe the coaches would disagree with this, but has he even been serviceable?
It's tough to say because of the competition going against those two teams. Like, he buried them further with mistakes, but then you add in the drops also. And some of it is hard to tell, like, because I saw a lot of people during the game on Saturday saying, you know, receivers had gotten their hands on the ball X number of times, which would lead you to believe that it's the receiver's fault. Well, a lot of times that's them running across the field, reaching back up and behind them, and just barely are able to touch the ball. That's not a drop. That's a terrible pass.
Mm-hmm. A hospital ball.
You know, and that... A what?
Hospital ball. That's a soccer term. When I played soccer, you know, pass me the ball. Well, am I going to pass you a ball that you can control and move forward in the offense, or am I going to be a hospital ball that's hard to trap that the other team could take? It's just like you're a point guard.
Well, I have never heard that.
Why the term hospital?
Because it gets you in the hospital.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. It's just like you're the point guard on the basketball team. You bring the rock up the court. You're throwing the ball to Anderson Hunt. Right? Greg Anthony made sure Anderson Hunt got the ball in motion to shoot, not behind
him. Wow.
Not leading him into the defender where he gets tackled.
We're not... There's not a rep, you know what I'm saying?
While we veered this far off topic, and since I've already taken some crap for my San Diego State pick, can I just say one thing? Thank God for Reno upholding the Silver State's honor against the Maction last week.
What was the final in that game?
I think they won by like 24-25.
Yeah, it was.
And Brewer got to beat his chest here when they went into overtime with Cal Poly. I'm going to beat my chest when they have
Buffalo going five time zones over.
That was a 50-point differential from UNLV's game against the MAC.
It was. I mean, UNLV played the best team in the MAC with one of the nation's best players, and Reno played one of the
And failed their point spread expectation by about, what, 10, 11 points? Nevada beat their point spread expectation by about 20 points. Yeah. So I rest my case, Judge Byrne.
So I'm sure Pauline's going to come in here and tear it up.
You know, we saw UNLV go with a lot more short passes, trying to – I think they're just looking for ways to help Stanton out right now. And, you know, if we can just kind of brainstorm, I guess, what else is there? Because even some of the short passes, there was one of the Boyd drops that I think you should probably cite as a drop, but it was right up the middle, about 8 yards, and Stanton seemed like he threw it as hard as he possibly could. Like, he just doesn't seem to have the right touch on the ball a lot of times either, but that also, you know, just kind of gets into the parsing of what's a drop, what's a bad pass, and a lot of times neither end is holding up their bargain, their end of the bargain, which I guess it just brings you back to the running game needs to be so good that it just opens up all kinds of wide open passes. And against Idaho, that very well could happen.
Yeah, I'm glad it's not my job to figure out this, because like Brewer said, I mean, just they have such a hole there right now. And, I mean, it's really hard to work around the quarterback who's struggling that badly. But that being said, I do think Tony Sanchez will have a way to address it. And, I mean, they just need to have a really strong week of practice and implementing whatever they're going to do to try to fix this.
I mean, I wonder if Palandek had been healthy, how that would have changed things. Like, when would he have said, okay, Johnny, you've had enough tries. Let's see if we can, you know, get a different voice in the huddle.
Maybe. I don't know, though. We saw Kurt last year. And Tony loves him. And
I mean, that's the thing. Is what Kurt did last year much worse than what Stanton's doing right now?
No, it's about the same level of productivity. Which, you can say, okay, then just put Kurt in instead. But then you're probably at the same place.
And I mean, I think arm strength-wise, I think Stanton could sling it down the field a little more.
Yeah,
I still think there's I still want to see just a little bit more of Stanton, because without having the numbers in front of me, I feel like we have a little bit larger sample that suggests Palandek is that. And you could still make the argument that, hey, Central Michigan and UCLA are very good. let's see what Stanton can do against the Idahos and the Fresno States of the world. So, I mean, I still think you're giving him a chance to write this thing. I'm not calling for a change right now, but I just think that we're getting down on the time. He doesn't have as much margin for error as he might have going into the Jackson State game.
And we knew there'd be an adjustment period going from, you know, the JC ranks to the D1 ranks. And I think that the coaches know that as well. And the patience they've had with him, of course, they haven't had an option to switch it out. But, you know, you got to get the kid some reps. And now when he goes down to a lower caliber team such as Idaho, you know, maybe the game slows down for him a little bit, where he stringed together some completions to build some confidence.
Any major concerns with the defense going forward? I'm kind of the mind that, look, it's most likely going to be ugly at Boise and at San Diego State, but against most of these teams that are on the schedule the rest of the way, they'll probably look okay. I think they'll be fine without any major changes, even as ugly as it was on Saturday. What do you guys think?
I mean, I think they go undefeated at home still this year, for whatever that's worth. And I think the only games where it could be a bit of an adventure would be San Diego and Boise.
Yeah, I still think it's a little bit of a concern. I'm kind of in between both of you. I mean, when you have a defense that is that poor, I think they're putting the best players they have on the field, but it's not – the Mountain West is terrible. We've established that. We say that every week. But it's not like UNLV is a lot better than all these teams they're playing. I mean, these are still a lot of coin flip games. And when you have a defense that bad that's capable of that many kind of breakdowns that we saw against Central Michigan, that's probably going to lose you a game or two of that. And I would be – like I said, none of these teams are good, but I think Brewer's crazy to say they're going to go undefeated at home. I mean, that means right now a lot of those games are like 50-50. They're going to win all four of these games. I mean, they're not way better than any of those four teams. Or five teams.
Yeah, five.
Well, I find that crazy.
No, I think they are way better than.
All right. I think you're crazy, but that's a...
And I think the Reno game's a W, so that only leaves two more games.
If they go undefeated at home, that is a huge, huge step in the right direction.
I would be surprised if that happens.
Just my comment. I might lead with that in a headline on Saturday.
After the loss? They're going undefeated at home the rest of the way.
I doubt they're going to lose on Saturday.
I'm just joking around. I'm definitely not picking Idaho. I'm not picking Idaho on Saturday, for the record.
No, I think we all feel that they're probably going to bounce back pretty well this week. And if they don't, then I think real concerns come into play. But it's about what you can do, as Kay said, in some of those 50-50 games against Mountain West teams that are about at your level.
If they lose on Saturday to Idaho, it'll be the first time in the Sanchez era where we're like, all right, are we heading in the right?
All right.
Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's very true.
I feel like if that happened, you would come back in here on Monday and have some excuses, though.
Of course I would.
There's no way. There's no way you would turn on Tony that quick.
I mean, Tony, like I've said before, Tony Sanchez could tell me that football's played with five downs, and I would say, okay, you're right. It is played with five downs. Go ahead and give Tony five downs.
I mean, that one time it was.
That might help.
Yeah. Maybe not. Giving the offense more plays, not necessarily a great idea. But Central Michigan and its mistakes are in the past. Very winnable home pair of games here. Idaho and Fresno State. Get out to Sam Boyd. Weather's cooling off. Should be a nice evening on Saturday. Should be possibly even a big W. As I said, UNLV laying two touchdowns. And we will see how the quarterback play progresses, what the defense is able to muster, and how those punts are coming along. For Ray, for Case, I am Taylor, and we will talk to you guys next week.